If you haven't been there, you're going to be there. There's going to be a moment in your Christian experience where you're going to encounter the enemy, and he will, at one point in your life, pin you in. And it's at the moments that you're pinned in that you really need a great response to his attack. Because if you don't have a right response, you're often going to be pinned in for a while. But if you learn how to come to God in prayer and start seeking the face of God, you've got a power at your fingertips. You've got a power within your grasp that you can overcome the enemy when he's firing on all cylinders at you. I don't know if you've been saved for any amount of time. There's been times in your Christian experience where the only recourse was prayer. There was no other answer. God, we must have you. We need you at this moment, right now, to do something. I've had many times in my Christian walk where it was only by prayer that I was going to overcome. Where it was only by coming to God and saying, Lord, if you don't do something, I'm not going to make it here. How many have been there? Amen? If you don't intervene, God, it's over here. I don't see how I could get through this circumstances. I desperately need you. I mean, what do you do? What do you do when a child comes to you and says, hey, I'm attracted to my same sex? What recourse does the mom or the father have? Or what do we do when a mother is completely engrossed in drugs and can't seem to get free from it? What recourse do we have? Or what do we do when Jimmy comes home blistering drunk and he can't even make it to his own bed because he's covered in his own vomit and he's drunk himself silly? What recourse do we have? What do you do when Tom quits trying to quit doing the things he's been doing in his life? What do you do when a wife looks her husband in the eye and says, I want a divorce? What do you do when things fall apart? Because I promise you, dear Christian, the enemy is not going to let you get to heaven unscathed. He's not going to let you walk through the pearly gates without the scars of the battle, without the beating and the whipping of his whip. I promise you, you will make it to heaven by fighting all of hell off of your back. What do you do when your grandchildren say, I don't believe in God anymore? What do you do? What recourse, my dear brothers and sisters, do you have? Prayer. Prayer. That's all we got. I want you to picture this. The Bible tells us this fantastic story. I'm so glad they put this story in the Bible. I'm glad that Luke recorded this, that when Peter, see, the Bible tells us that the enemy killed James, and when the Jews were applauding what Herod did, he thought, I'm going to really win the Jews over, and I'm even going to kill Peter. And at that moment, I want you to think about how the church felt. The church was in fear of their very own lives. The church didn't come out and start a committee and start picketing at Herod's front gate. They didn't come out there with picket signs and say, Christians are people too. They didn't do that. They didn't have the freedom of speech. They didn't have the moment to get out there and march in the streets on their behalf and for their cause. They couldn't go stand before King Herod and say, Herod, you need to let Peter go. This is wrong. You are wrongly charging him. This isn't good. This is a horrible thing. They did not have that recourse. The only thing they could do was pray. And that's it. And the church did exactly that. When Peter was locked up, when James lost his life, the church fell on its knees. I am so thankful for people who know where to go. Amen? I can tell you right now, I don't look for Dr. Dooflunky. I can tell you right now, I'm not calling that sister that don't come to church very often. I can tell you right now, I'm not calling that person. person that all they have to do is talk bad about someone else and somebody else and somebody else and someone else, and they gossip here and they gossip there and they backbite here and they backbite there. But I'm going to somebody who knows how to pray. Amen. And the church knew where to go. They knew who to cry out to. They knew who to pray to. They knew that God was the only option for their lives. And church, I want you to understand there's going to be times in your Christian experience where the only option is to pray, because prayer is the only thing that'll change it. It isn't going to change because you talk to me. It isn't going to change because you talk to your neighbor. It isn't going to change because you talk to your boss. It isn't going to change because you talk to some friend around the corner. It's going to change because you fell on your knees and you started talking to God. You want to know how to get some victory in your life? Start talking to God about what's going on in your life. You want to know how to let go of all the sins that are clinging on to your life? You gotta get on your knees and start praying. The church should know where to go. Prayer meetings are a thing of the past. It's what Christians did when they really needed God. But I want to tell you that you don't get anywhere without prayer in God. You don't get anywhere without prayer with God. Could you imagine if every Christian tomorrow woke up and said, I'm going to give God an hour today on behalf of this country? Could you imagine what would take place in this country if every Christian gave God an hour of prayer specifically for this country? What if every Christian in Kingman fell on its knees just an hour tomorrow for the city of Kingman? The churches would be flooded with people coming in, and they don't even know why they came. They just felt an urge to be in the house of God, and so they came. I'm telling you, this is the recourse we have. The recourse we have is to call out on the Lord. That's what we've got. I don't know anything else. Sometimes I don't have the answer. As a pastor, I have sat on one side of my desk and listened to someone share with me some of the saddest stories I've ever heard in my life. And the only thing I could say was, I'm just going to pray because I don't have an answer. But I know the one who has the answer. I may not be able to, but I know the one who is able to. I can't get it done, but I know the one who can get it done. And so I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to pray. And listen, we as Christians say, oh, well, that's all we got is prayer. But I want you to know we're cheapening what we mean by that. I don't want to cheapen prayer in your mind. I want you to know it's not the only thing you can do. It's the most powerful thing that you can do. Prayer turns things around. And the church knew they didn't have any other option. No other option. We can't, you know, think about it. Maybe what if James and all the apostles said, listen, we gotta spring them out. Who's got the bail money? Oh, wait a minute. They don't do bail in that day, so we're going to have to break them out. Get your swords, people. We're going to bust Peter out. They couldn't do any of that. They had no voice in the community. They had no voice amongst the people. They had no voice to do anything. Listen, when you have no voice in your children's ears, when you have no voice in your family's hearts, when you've got no voice, then they won't even hear you or listen to a word you have to say. When you fall on your knees, they are helpless when you pray for them. They are helpless when you pray for them. And they cannot shake off God, and they cannot shake off conviction. I'm so glad that my grandma prayed for me. I'm so glad that my mama prayed for me, because I'm telling you, I am a result of somebody praying for me. Amen. It just so happened Peter would have died had it not been unleavened bread day. If it had not been the Passover, Peter would have died immediately. They would have grabbed him, killed him, and it'd been over. But Peter got lucky because James got caught a day earlier, and it wasn't unleavened bread day, and he got his head chopped off. James died for the gospel. One of the ones who saw Jesus transfigured at the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter was next on the chopping block, sitting there in the prison. You know this about the enemy? He always puts you in a place where you feel it's impossible. He puts you in a place where it seems like it's never going to be good. How can this be good? You ever been there? How is it going to work out for me in this situation? I mean, Lord, seriously, how are you going to fix this? Peter wasn't just in prison, folks. He had four people watching him. He had four people. Two of them were sleeping next to him. Sleeping next to him. And he's chained up, and he's not just in prison. He has to go through two sets of guards to get out of the gate. And then when he approaches the gate just opens up. Come on, somebody. I want to shout now, but I'm getting there. Amen. I'm ready to dance, but I'm getting there. Amen. My dance is coming. Just a moment. Amen. It's coming. Now, I want you to get this. The church was in prayer. Not just a little bit of prayer. Constant prayer. Now think about that for a moment. It wasn't a 5-minute touch the floor. Oh dear Jesus, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. It wasn't a prayer of Lord bless this food, nourish it to my body in the name of Jesus, amen. It wasn't that type of prayer. It was, oh God, they just killed James. Peter's next, Lord. They're gonna annihilate your church. They began to pray like they probably have never prayed before. And such prayer that they didn't stop the moment that the enemy kept knocking and prowling and looking for them. They kept praying. Constant prayer. And Peter is in the prison. And they don't even know. Listen, you know what? Let me tell you something. You have no clue the power of your prayer when you pray for someone. I can be praying right here for my dear brother in Vanuatu who is ministering the gospel in Vanuatu, and my prayer is instantly transferred. And my God, who is everywhere at all times, he is omniscient, he is all-powerful, he is omnipresent, he's all-knowing, he's omnipotent, he's all-powerful in all things. My God, when I pray here, is already in Vanuatu. And so when I say, Lord, touch my brother in Vanuatu, you have no clue what's going on in Vanuatu. You have no clue when you fall on your knees, you begin to pray for your loved one, what's going on in heaven. The Lord says, oh, Sister Barbara is praying for her children. Do you hear her? I hear her. I hear her crying out for them. And so now the Lord gets into gear. All right, everybody, we've got to start working on Barbara's behalf. You don't even know what's going on in the heavens. The church had no clue that the angel of the Lord marched down into that prison cell. They did not know that God was about to spring Peter out because of prayer. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, now I want you to listen. Prayer ushered Peter out. Ushered Peter out. Peter was locked up. Nobody could get to him, but prayer marched right down into that cell room and said, hey, Peter, listen, I don't know how you sleep like that. I have racked my brain. Peter, how in the world did you fall asleep? Right? I mean, you got to have some kind of peace. I could tell you right now, I'd be gnawing on chains. Right? I mean, Peter is asleep. He's got peace. He's not frantic. He's sleeping between two shoulders. And what I love so much is the scripture says that the angel slapped him and said, arise! Arise! You know what I feel? I feel like our prayer is about to usher in something wonderful. I feel like my prayer is about to usher in my brother. I feel like my prayer is about to usher in my father. I feel that my prayer is about to usher in some victory that I've been praying for a long, long time. because prayer ushers in victory. I believe with all my heart that the Bible tells when the angel slapped Peter and said, get up, I believe there's some family members that you've been praying for that God has put angels in charge of, and they're standing there waiting for the moment to slap them and say, arise, arise, arise. I believe with all my heart that the Holy Ghost is ready to usher in some folks that we've been praying for, and he's going to do it on your behalf, not because you talked to Dr. Duflunke, but because you talked to Jesus and he heard your cry. Peter was sleeping, and the angel said, get up. Oh man, do you realize that the reason why you're here right now is that God slapped you one day and said, get up? Hey man, do you realize that it was because someone took the time to say, Jessica, I've been praying for you? Hey man, do you realize that it was because somewhere somebody said, Sister Christy, I've been praying for you. I've been asking God to move on your behalf. I've been asking the Lord. How do you realize that you've been prayed for more than you can even imagine? And by prayers, are you marching right now? And by prayer, are you walking in realms you shouldn't even be walking in? And by prayer, you've been given victory you shouldn't have victory in. And the devil stands there baffled because you got up. And he doesn't understand how you're standing. He doesn't understand how you're making it. But the Lord has brought you to a place, and it's all because prayer ushered in victory in your life. I want you to know, I'm so glad the Lord took me by the hand. I'm so glad. Oh, you're not with me tonight. You need to stay with me. He took me by the hand. He grabbed a hold of me and said, Bruce, you can't go that way. That way's no victory. Follow me, son. Come on this way. Wait a minute, Father. What's going on? I got to take you over here, son. Come on over here. You can't go that way or that way. Don't look to the right hand nor to the left. Keep your eyes right on. Let your keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And so he kept guiding me, took me by the hand. I'm telling you, I believe that by prayer, some of you are being ushered. The usher collects. I said, the usher collects. You realize that the Spirit of God is collecting from you and receiving it back to the Father. He's collected your prayer. He's collected all of your discouragement, all of your ups and downs, all of the failures, all of the past. And he said, Father, here it is. I'm ushering this out now, and I'm giving it to you, Father. And the Lord has become the great usher in your life, all because of prayer. Peter is locked up, and God and the angel says, arise. Now get this. When Peter was getting up, oh, I love this. When Peter was getting up, the chains came off. When Peter was getting up, the chain. Listen, you can be right in the center of a prison and still have no chains. You could be right in a place where everything has got you locked down, pinned down. The fire of the devil is flying over your head. You can hear the whistles of his bullets flying by. But praise be to Jesus. The Lord has loosed your chains, and he's ushering you out. Peter walks by one set of guards. I don't know how these other guards stayed asleep. Maybe the Lord put a holy sleep on them. Amen. Sleep. And they were asleep. Peter got up. And the angel says, put your shoes on. Don't think for one second that you're not going to be able to savor the victory. Because you're going to say, when God ushers you out of something and into something great and pulls you out of the pinned down situation. That I feel this from the Holy Ghost. Some of you have been pinned down, and you've been pinned down a while, and you've been praying about what you've been pinned down with. Maybe it's some besetting sin. Maybe it's a family member you've been praying for. Maybe it's a coworker been harassing you. Maybe it's something else, but you've been pinned down for a long time, and you've been telling God, I need you to help me here. I need you to intervene here. I need you to do something for me here, and you've been praying this prayer. I want you to know there's going to come a day when the chain's going to come off, and you're going to get up, and you're going to stand there, and the Lord is going to let you savor the moment, because he's going to say, put your shoes on. We've got time. He's going to tell you, put your garments on. Everything's all right. Everything's all right. And you're going to be able to savor the moment. You're going to be able to bask in the sunshine of victory. You're going to be able to sit there and say, I'm just taking all of this in. I'm just enjoying every bit of this victory in my life. I'm just appreciating it right now. I'm telling you, this is something wonderful. When the Holy Ghost gives you this kind of victory and you just stand back, you're going to have to do something like this. Amen. You're going to have to jump. You're going to have to raise them hands. You're going to have to shout victory, because God is so good. You'll be able to praise him like you've never praised him before. And get this, all of this is happening, and the church is still. They don't even know the chains fell off. They don't even know an angel's there. Peter was in such a deep sleep, he thought he was having a vision. This isn't real. It's just something I made up in my mind. Come on, somebody. How many of you ever told yourself that? Oh, it wasn't the Lord. I made that up, I guess, in my mind. But in actuality, he brought you out and you went climbing back in. Well, I could preach there a while, but I better not. Amen. They were still praying. And the guards are still asleep, and he goes out, and then there's guards at the door. And they don't even know him. They don't, I don't know, maybe they're all sleeping. The Bible doesn't say they're all asleep, just the two that are there with him sleeping. Maybe the other two were asleep too, and maybe they didn't even see him. I don't know. The Bible doesn't clear on that matter. It just simply says he went through one set of guards, and then he went through another set of guards. And then as they approach the gate, it just opens up. I love that. Let's just take that in for a moment. It just opens up. I'm speaking this into somebody's spirit tonight. It just opens up. It just opens up. You're not going to be able to explain it. You're not going to be able to rationalize it. You're not going to be able to articulate it. You won't even be able to express the joy that this victory will bring to you. You're not even going to be able to fathom or articulate how God did it all. You'll be able to tell the story. You'll be able to testify about how you felt, but it will not justify the power of the victory that God will bring to your life. And all of it comes because the church knows how to do one thing. The gate opens up. Peter walks out, and the Bible says they even went down another street. I guess Peter was going for a walk. Amen. Took him to another street. It wasn't until the angel disappeared. It wasn't until the angel disappeared that they finally recognized, that he finally said, oh, thank you, Jesus. This is real. And then he goes over to where he knows the church is. Isn't it amazing? Peter knows where they are. When prayer is a pattern in your life and you know where the church prays, that's where you go. Right? As I said at the very beginning of this message, I'm not going to look for the gossiper. I'm not going to look for the backbiter. I'm not going to look for the intellectual. I'm looking for a prayer warrior. Amen? I'm looking for a prayer warrior. I would call Grandma all the time and say, Grandma, I just want to drop this in your spirit. I need you to pray over it for me and believe God with me on this. And I would drop it in her spirit. She'd say, all right, baby, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for the situation. I'm going to pray for what's going on. And I knew one thing. If I put it in Grandma's spirit, she was going to do what I asked her to do. She was going to pray about it. And I cannot tell you how many things that God brought victory in my life because Grandma knew how to pray. Sometimes I didn't know how to pray. Sometimes the situation was so bad, I was pinned down too much and I could not get up. And so I would call Grandma and say, Grandma, the enemy's got me pinned down right now, but I know if you touch heaven, the Lord will do something for me. And Grandma began to pray. And the victory came. I don't know what it was about Grandma's prayers. I just know she knew how to touch heaven. That's all I knew. That's all I knew. And I knew if I asked her, she'd pray me through. Peter comes to the very place he knows everybody's praying. Everybody's seeking God. They're still in prayer. They're still in prayer. Listen, it must have been late. Maybe I don't know when they caught Peter. I don't know how long he was in prison, but I can tell you it was longer than an hour the church was in prayer. I believe that. I believe they were in constant prayer. And they were praying and praying, and when they didn't have words to say, we Christians know how to howl. Oh! Oh! Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We don't have to have fancy words, my dear friends and brothers. We don't have to have fancy words, sisters. All we got to do is know how to howl his name. All we got to do is know how to cry out. Sometimes it's not the fancy prayer. Sometimes I don't even have time for a fancy prayer. I just need a help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus kind of prayer. And when I pray that prayer, maybe he could hear him out in the street. I don't know. But the Bible says he knocks on the door. And Rhoda, I love that name, Rhoda. Rhoda goes to the door and recognizes the voice of Peter. They've been praying about Peter. They've been praying about the situation. And she's so caught up in joy that it's Peter. She just runs away. I mean, what a story, amen? You can't even make this stuff up. It's so good, amen? I mean, she just runs away. She runs and goes in there and goes, guess, guys, guess what? Guess what? Peter! Peter! He's outside! Can you believe it? Can you, oh my goodness, he's outside. He deserved it, trust me. He's outside. Peter's out there. Woman, you're nuts. Get this, the church is praying for something they see as impossible. Get this. To them, it's impossible. Peter being outside, come on, serious? That's impossible. You're a nut. I love people who are nuts because they believe in things that are impossible. Not because they can do it, because they know God can do it. The church was praying for something that in their hearts they probably had another outcome that they thought maybe they'll go before Herod and Herod will have mercy and Peter will get out. They didn't know the angel was going to march in there and bust him out. They didn't know how God was going to do it. They were just simply praying for God to do it. And the church kept praying until the knock
at the door.
How long should I pray for my loved ones, Pastor?
Ha, 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 ha.
Until they knock on heaven's door, amen? How long should I pray for those who are outrightly rejecting God? How long should I pray, Pastor? Until they knock on the door. You keep praying, you keep praying. Listen, you're going to be so overwhelmed by the victory, you won't even know what to do. You might act like Rhoda. You might run in and slap your child and tell everyone, can you believe what God has done? But they thought she was a nut. Listen, the world looks at our prayer life and says, waste of time. The world looks at a Christian who falls on their knees and prays and asks God for victory. The enemy says, waste of time. But I'm telling you, you'll never waste a moment of your life on your knees with God. You'll find that in the prayer closet, you'll find strength you never thought you could find. You'll find victory you never thought you could have. You'll be in places you never thought you could be. Paul said, I was caught to the third heaven when I prayed. He said, I prayed several times and the Lord would come down and touch me. He'd move on me. He said, I speak in tongues more than you all. Why? Because he was a man who believed in prayer. Peter, James, and John, they didn't just pray every now and then. They prayed at 9 o'clock every day, and they went to the house of the Lord and they prayed. The man at the gate, beautiful, he was healed on the way to a prayer meeting. Hallelujah. On the way to prayer, God was doing miracles. And they kept praying, and they finally say, you're a nut, lady. Rhoda, you've lost your mind. And they go in there, and finally, they're like, well, maybe it's his angel. Every time I read this passage, I wonder, did they believe that for every person they had an angel that looked just like them? I still to this day don't know if that's the fact or not, but I know this. The Lord, his angels, they guard me. And I know they guard you. I know that for sure, because the Bible tells us that his angels are with us. They're ministering spirits on his behalf. And so I know the Lord's angels are at work and working in this world today. I know that I pray every night, God, camp your angels around our home. What devil in hell can come through his host, amen? Not any. Lord, camp your angels around our home. Do I got time? You said yes. You're in trouble now. Amen. You said yes. It's all on you now. If I preach an hour longer, it's all on you. Amen. I'm just kidding. I can preach that long. I'm almost done. Amen. I'm going to tell you this testimony again. I'm telling you, God gives charge, his angels charge to protect us. I believe this 100%. I've taught my children this 100%. I've told them that God protects us. God guards us. God is always there for us. When we were living in the parsonage over here, we had a man try to break into the house while we were there sleeping. I heard noise, and of course I immediately thought, my son is up messing around. I'm going to knock him out. And so I got out of my bed intending to beat my son for waking me up. And when I came out there, my son comes out in the hallway and says, Dad, someone's trying to break in the house. And I go, are you serious? He goes, yeah, they're trying to break in the fifth wheel. They're trying to break in the house. And so I went over to the window, his window in that room, and I pulled the shade down. I kid you not, there was a guy looking me eye to eye that close. And he looked at me and he said, I'm coming in that house. And I said, and you'll die trying. I went and I got my shotgun. I figure, shotguns, they solve all problems. And so I got my shotgun. I got it loaded. I took my kids. I put them in the back of the room. I told my wife, put my kids down, duck them down, and guard them with your life. Stay back there, and if he comes through, I'll kill him. Now, I didn't even pray. Okay, I didn't pray. I just gonna kill him. I didn't think about prayer at the moment. I thought protection. I was a father. I was thinking about my wife and my child, my children. I was thinking about being a father. So prayer didn't come into my mind. Kill came into my mind. I did think for a moment, should I wound him or should I kill him? That was the only thought that went through my mind, because I figured if I wound him, he could sue me. But if I kill him, dead men tell no tales. Amen. So I determined that I was going to have to do center mass and kill him. My wife is behind me. She's calling the sheriff. And all of a sudden, I hear my wife say, "In the name of Jesus, this is not happening here. Devil, I rebuke you. I plead the blood over our home." I forgot to pray. I was going to kill him. So I leaned up in the hallway and I had my shotgun like this, because when I went over to the window, the man had a brick in his hand, raised like this, ready to throw through the big picture window of the parsonage. And I knew he's going to break the window and he's going to come in. And so I stepped back, I got in the hallway, and I got my gun set, and I'm waiting for him. I was going to wait till he got his full body in, that way I wouldn't get in trouble. And I'm waiting, and I'm listening to my wife pray. And I'm waiting. That brick should have come by now. I'm waiting. That brick should have come by now. That brick should have come by now. What in the world is going on? Where's the brick? Where's the guy? What's going on? What's going on? See, I didn't even know what prayer was doing. I didn't think about prayer. I didn't know that God took that man and froze him in his place with that brick in his hand raised like this. Froze him. And I'm not kidding you. Froze him. He didn't throw the brick because he couldn't throw the brick. He was froze in this position with a brick. Now, I'm not talking like a small red brick. I'm talking a cinder block brick. The kind you build a wall with. He had it in his hand, and he was holding it like this, and he didn't move. The police tackled him with the brick in his hand, frozen in that position. Amen? To this day, I thank God that I didn't have to shoot the guy. I thank God that prayer stopped an ugly, ugly situation. Could you imagine the headlines in Kingman? Pastor shoots man who breaks in house, kills him in his living room. What kind of publicity would that be? I'd try to pray him back to life after I shot him. But I don't know that it'd be much victory, man. God would probably say, "You're confusing me, son. What's going on? You just killed him. Now you want me to resurrect him? I don't get it." Amen. Peter knocks on the door and they don't even realize what prayer has done. They don't even know it. Victory has ushered, prayer has ushered Peter right out of prison and at their front door, and he knocks on the door. When they open the door, the Bible says this one word: they were astonished. Do you know that your prayer life, if you get real with God, will astonish you at what will take place? It will astonish you at the victory and the power that will come in your life. It will astonish you what God will do. We need to pray our children in. We need to pray our loved ones in. We need to pray for the victory in our lives. For those little sins that love to hold on to our lives, come on, church, you know what I'm talking about. Those little things that don't like to let go, we got to pray those things out. You're not going to get rid of some devils unless you pray and fast about them. You're going to have to rebuke some things and learn how to pray and pray some things down. Listen, it wasn't the mighty, eloquent prayer that brought fire down on Mount Carmel. It was a simple prayer that simply believed that God who would answer by fire, and they prayed and the fire came down. So I want you to understand something. You keep praying. It was D.L. Moody. He prayed somewhere around 4 hours a day. That's a long time. I have taken whole days to pray. where I've literally shut the door and fasted and prayed the whole day. But never have I had a prayer life that went for 4 hours every day. That's a long time. Usually when I get to an hour, God says, you got a lot to do, go get it done. But he'd pray for 4 hours every day. But isn't it amazing? All of us know the name D.L. Moody. One preacher asked him, how do you find the time to pray for 4 hours a day? He said, I lose time if I don't pray. That was his response. Basically, the day is consumed in being alone with God. Church, I'm not telling you go home and pray 4 hours a day, but I am telling you that a constant prayer life will radically transform your Christian walk. Somebody prayed for me. They had me on their mind. They sacrificed their time. They got down on their knees. They prayed for me. Oh, they had no doubt that God would usher me out. They got down on their knees. They prayed for me. I'm so glad that someone prayed for me.